Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Coming up on this edition of Magic Pod Squad, we catch up with Terrence Ross, a.k.a. Human Torch. We're going to touch on how he got that nickname, Human Torch, during the last season. Also, his decision to return to Orlando this past summer. His unique journey to the NBA. A few different high schools for Terrence Ross as he started in the West Coast, went briefly to the East Coast before returning home. How he developed that patented jumper. Also, his time in Canada playing for the Toronto Raptors. And, of course, we take questions from fans. Find out that he truly believes in ghosts. You definitely do not want to miss those stories. So much coming your way as we get to know Terrence Human Torch Ross on this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic.
This is Evan Fournier.
This is Jonathan Isaac.
This is Mo Bamba.
Check out what's new with the Orlando Magic Pod Squad.
The host of characters give you a behind-the-scenes look at Magic basketball.
The Magic Pod Squad has you covered. Subscribe and rate on iTunes and the Google Play Store today.
And it's our pleasure to welcome in Terrence Ross. First time he's been on Pod Squad. We're glad to have you with us. Dante Marcatelli, Jeff Turner, David Steele. And Terrence, are you a podcast fan? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, I actually do. I started listening to podcasts, I think, like, maybe this past summer. I think probably, like, my favorite one is, like, Joe Rogan, like, probably everybody else. But I listen to, like, you know, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson's Knuckleheads.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Who else? I listen to Pat McCaffrey, the old punter from Indianapolis, Colts. Right. He's really funny. He's, like, really funny.
Really?
Yeah, but just random podcasts every now and then.
The Joe Rogan one is, like, the most popular one out there. Yeah. Well, I've never listened to it, though. Why? What's the attraction?
I think he gets a little bit of everything. Like, it's no filter. He has people from all over. Like, you know, he has book authors, scientists, comedians, UFC fighters, athletes, celebrities. Nice. So, like, you just get a mix of everybody. It's just a broad audience he has.
That's the beauty of this. David has no filter either.
I noticed, Dante, that he didn't mention the Pod Squad. No, so, but that's
maybe
okay.
At the end of this.
We're
actually
growing.
I did listen to Sid's podcast. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He came in talking about it, and I was like, I got to check this out. So I listened to it. It was pretty funny.
Sid's got some stories.
No, trust me. I heard a bunch of those stories before, but he always has, like, the best stories.
He's got more than he can tell.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
There's no question. Well, we just came from Toronto before we got to Indianapolis, a place that you're very familiar with. My wife's from Toronto, so I've become familiar with it over the years. One thing, if you can help with David, he still doesn't understand the money situation.
The money? Oh, yeah, like the Monopoly money?
Yeah. I struggle with that.
Did you figure that out?
Credit cards now.
Strictly to credit card, yeah. No, you got your loonies, your toonies, the coins, which I actually like because they're like $1, $2 coins, which is pretty cool. And then you just have, like, your money. Like, and it's the best thing I like about it, when I got there, that's when they just start, like, incorporating, like, the no-rip dollar bills and stuff. So, like, they have, like, plastic. It's like plastic money almost, but you can't tear it. Like, it doesn't rip.
Really?
It's, like, rip-proof. So, like, every time somebody comes, like, from out of town, I give them, like, a 20 and say, I'll give you this 20 if you can, like, tear it in half. Nobody can ever do that. It's amazing.
Did you have favorite things up there? Like, my wife loves ketchup chips, which I'm kind of warming up to. But there's things like, did you have any favorite?
Favorite things? Actually, the candies. The candies are a lot different. I think they're called, like, Maynards or Menards. Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But they're, like, they come in, like, different things. They come, like, little, like, they have their own gummy bears. They have, like, their own version of, like, Swedish fish called, like, Swedish berries.
Ooh, I like Swedish fish.
Yeah, they're really good. They come in, like, little berry things that kind of like Swedish fish. But what else they got? They got, like, these, like, the gas stations have, like, these, their own brand of candy. My favorite thing ever. Like, they had, like, these little strawberry gummy candies that were just, like.
Really? Like Hess M&M's or what do you
think? No, I mean, yeah, I can't. It was called On the Run Gas Station, and they just had their own line of like candy, and it was just like the best. Anytime I went to go fill my car up, I always got like 2-3 packs of candy.
That's fantastic. Well, settle a debate for us. David loves Swedish fish. I can't stand them. You're a fan?
Oh, no. I actually had a pack when I was in town. Yeah. First thing I did, I went to the convenience store. I was like, let me get this.
I've got some at home. I found them on the street outside my house. The car had run over them. I'll
bring them. David and I don't like them. That's exactly right. Well, touch on Toronto, and then guys jump in. But just playing there, what was that experience like? Obviously, you grew up in this country. Yeah. You grew up in California, and then you bounced to Oregon. But then making that transition, guys love it there. It's a great city. What were kind of your takeaways?
I mean, when I got there, the team wasn't doing so well. So it was more so like, you know, it was just a really fun city. It was like nightlife was great. The food is amazing. And it's so diverse that you just meet all types of people. And so, like, it's amazing because once you do, it's just like the one thing they always ask American people is like, yo, like, where are you from? And I'm just like, oh, I'm from the States. And they're just like, no, but like, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I'm from Oregon. And they're like, no, but like, where are your parents from? I was like, they're from the States too. But everybody's so like diverse that like all their parents are almost like immigrants, and they come from different countries, so like they know their whole heritage, they know everything. So it's just, I got to tell like I got used to a lot of different ethnicities, and I kind of tell off the bat, and that's like one thing I couldn't do when I first got there, because I was just like, what do you mean where I'm from? Isn't it everybody here from Canada? And it's like, no, like my parents are you know, UK, or my dad's from Jamaica, or my parents are Trini or something. So I'm just like, oh, okay, so you guys are like it's very culturally like, they just have a great bond with like where they come from. So I thought that was amazing too.
So what about then, like, you know, we always talk about, we're all from, well, not Dante's now, but Dave and I are from the South. Yeah. And so we're used to a little bit more moderate climate and everything. Yeah. So what about the weather in Toronto? People have said that scares people off sometimes.
Yeah, no, the weather is intense. It just gets unbelievably cold. Like, it's been times where like my first year I had a Challenger, and that was like a rear-wheel drive type car, so it's like the worst thing for snow. And I remember it was one time, it was just snowing. Like, I remember we went to the airport, we left. By the time we came back, like, my car is covered in snow, but not like just snow, but like ice. Like, I had to take my keys and like chip at the door handle just to get it open. So I'm like, this is all new to me. So I'm the first person out of like the parking facility or whatever, and my car gets stuck on like ice. So now it's like a big line of people all behind me trying to get out, but like I can't get my car to like get past some snow. So for like 30 minutes after like an away or after like a return flight, like my car is just stuck in one spot holding up the entire line. And I remember we're driving, then I finally got some traction, somebody pushed me. And I remember me and Kyle Lowry were driving home, and when we were getting on the highway, we had to like kind of get on the overpass, and the overpass had a little slant to it. And so like, of course I'm going like 30 miles an hour on the highway just cause like I have no idea how to drive in snow. And we get onto this overpass, and then like my car starts like sliding down towards like the like little divider, and I start getting scared. I didn't know what to do, so I just like put the brakes on and just kind of kept sliding. And then like I see Kyle coming behind me, and his car starts sliding too. Wow. So like we're literally getting out on the highway like 2 o'clock in the morning, trying to push our cars out of like these snowbanks and trying to get it back onto the road. And it was just like the worst experience I ever had. Like even getting into my garage that day, I remember me and Kyle lived in the same building. We actually had like push our cars into the garage because like the wheels just would not spin and catch traction, so we were stuck. And I think it might have took, usually that drive from the hangar to my house with no snow is about 30 minutes. That day it took me like maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So like that's when I knew, I was like, okay, this weather up here is a lot different, on top of it just being freezing. Like I was like, there was a ton of snow, but it was the ice. The ice was the worst because it was black ice everywhere. And I had no idea how to like tell the difference between black ice and just road. So it was the scariest thing for me.
So I think that probably answers the question I was going to say. Well, so when you first find out that you're coming to Orlando, it's not about, you know, I'm leaving the Raptors. Or anything. Yeah. It's like, oh, I never have to worry about this weather again.
It was the weather. It was like, oh my God. It's like, if I go anywhere after Toronto, I just hope it was just not as bad as Toronto. So when I went, I heard I was getting traded to Orlando, it was just like, it's like one of those bittersweet things where I'm just like, oh, well, the weather's great, so I don't care about anything else right now. Yeah. Like, as long as I can stay outside and wear shorts every day, I was like, I'm fine.
You're right about that.
Terrence, I know you grew up on the West Coast, mm-hmm. Southern California, then family moved to Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Who were your early in life influencers?
I was saying, like, my mom. My mom was big because, you know, she was always around, and she was the main person that was, you know, hands-on with me every day. And then I always had, like, my favorite athletes I looked up to. Like, growing up in Southern California, like Kobe is my Jordan. Like, I love Kobe more than, like, any other athlete in the world. So I just remember everything he did, I just idolized.
And your infatuation with Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Where did that start?
Man, so I think probably around, like, college, when those comic movies start coming out, like, I would see one. I was like, oh, it's not bad. Like, even the first couple movies I saw, they were just, you know, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, it's an action movie, so it's fun. But I think, like, once they start, like, bringing them out in, like, bulk, and there was just a ton of them, I was just like, I wonder where they're pulling, like, their origins and, like, their all the backstories from these. So I ended up starting, like, you know, going online, just looking up random, like, comics and origin stories. And I kind of got, like really into that. And it was just kind of went down a rabbit hole for me. And I think one thing was just, like, it's just a good story. It was just, like, so much backstory into what's going on. And I think the movies are made so well that kind of grabbed my attention to the comics. And then, man, 2 years later down that rabbit hole, now I got my house or my office is filled up with comics. I'm going to Marvel Studios every summer and DC Studios every summer just checking up on another new project. So it was just really fun, and I thought it was just entertaining.
It's interesting. This summer, so that the last Avengers that came out, what, Endgame, Avengers Endgame came out. I hadn't seen any of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So my wife and I sat, and at the start of the summer,
oh, man,
we've seen 17 now
to get
caught up. There's only 5 left. We just finished Black Panther.
Yeah.
I think next, they have an order that
you
can
watch.
Yeah,
no, it's an order. It's like, it's almost like the comic books, how, you know, you read the first edition and then the second, or that first edition leads into the second one. It has like a little crossover. So I think the way they did it with the movies made it even more so interesting, because, like, after every movie, they have, like, a post-credit scene that leads into another movie. So I think that was the most fascinating part, because, like, they actually did something with that. And that was almost, like, as key to the movie as the movie was itself. So I was just like, you know, that's very interesting how they did all this. And initially, when you see, like, the first Iron Man and you just kind of see, like, the post-credit scene, you're just like, well, okay, I don't know what any of this means.
Right.
And then 7-8 movies later, it's all starting to make sense, and it's starting, like, a nice little plot thicken. So that was definitely cool to me. So I think that was one thing that also probably grabbed my attention.
The thing that I didn't realize that you would realize from the comics is they say Iron Man isn't much in the comics.
No.
He's one of the coolest guys.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Sure. No, I think that's more so like Robert Downey Jr. He kind of made that. He really brought that character to life. Like, I mean, he probably wasn't, like, the most popular superhero, you know, before the movies came out, but I think once people, like, kind of saw his character and how charismatic he was and how funny he was of a guy, it's like, I think Robert Downey Jr. kind of, like, brought that out. Now it's, like, everybody's favorite character. So I'm just like, well, you can't blame him.
Yeah,
so,
I got it. This is a great time, I think, to bring up your nickname.
Yeah.
Originated with, I don't know how much you know about the
original. No, I know. Yeah, no.
But
it was great.
David was the first one to use it on air.
Yes. Yeah.
But we had a meeting. Where were we, Dante, last February,
Milwaukee.
Right?
Milwaukee. He came up to me right before the game started.
Yeah, and I was reading. I was reading some stuff. I like to dig deep on you guys and find out what you're all about, what your interests are and all. And I saw that you're a big comic book, a Marvel guy, so I threw out some names at our production meeting. You know, what if we, you know, if we can find a great name for Terrence that, you know, we could kind of dub him. And I had 3 or 4 names, but none of us really liked any of them. Our producer, Ty Easton, was there. And so, Dante, you said, well, I'll ask him before the game, right? You pick it up there.
That's right. And I went in the locker room, right, and came over.
Yeah, you know, for sure. You threw out a couple, but once you said, like, Human Torch, I was like, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's pretty a long nickname, but nonetheless, it makes sense. I was like, but now it's taking on, like, a character of his own, like, everybody.
Well, tell us, how has it taken on?
Still, like, to this day.
Because our whole goal was to get you a few extra zeros at the end of the page.
It seems like it worked, because everybody, like, I have, like, I take my son to school, his teachers call me Torch, like, no joke.
Do they really?
My mother-in-law, she'll, like, write me after every game, like, oh, good job, Torch. I'm just like, everybody is calling me this, like, all my friends call me now, like, they'll be joking with me. They just call me, like, whoa, what's up, Torch? I'm just like, you guys are, like, really taking this thing far. Like, I've never had, like, other than T. Ross, like, nobody's really ever called me anything else. Like, maybe sure. Ross, but, mm-hmm. yo, Human Torch is, like, sticking. Like,
but
sticking
what about your teammates and your peers? Because that's when you know it's really yeah. there.
No, trust me. No, for sure. Vooch calls me that. Evan, AG said it, like, and it's weird. Like, we have, like, our sandals and our slides in the locker room. Like, I guess they got customized this year. So, like, everybody has, like, a little, you know, version of whatever they're from or whatever. Like, I think, like, Kim has, like, a flag from Montreal. Okay. Vooch might have, like, the Montenegrin flag or whatever. Mm-hmm. But one of my slides has, like, the Human Torch on it. It's, like, the best slides ever. But, yeah, so I was just like, yo, this is like a real thing. Like, this is a real thing.
Does it surprise you how people took to it?
And yeah.
But see, now you can come up with it. You gotta make it happen. Yeah, you gotta go exactly. out and hit the shots.
No,
you
for sure. But
you made it all come to life.
Man, I just didn't think that people were like really, like, people actually say this to me all the time. If I go on my Instagram right now, I can guarantee you it's just like a few comments every single time saying torch this, torch that. So I'm just like, man. So I mean, it's a great name and it makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then, you know, the funny thing is, like, I love, like, Marvel characters and, like, comic books, and I really don't know that much about the Human Torch. So that's the funny thing. So it's just like, I don't even know the guy's real name.
I think I went and watched that movie or something. He's part of the Fantastic Four?
Yeah, Fantastic right? Four, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right, Captain America, he plays him. Yeah, so yes. random. But, I think it's like Johnny Storm, yeah. But other than that, like, I do not know much about
that. As much as you know, go figure, that'd be the one that...
Be the one that I don't know anything about.
But it works.
And
what about your, you know, you said your son.
Yeah.
Does he love that?
Is
he into the whole
he's the one
NBA
person that doesn't
torch.
Call me Torch or anything. But, no, he's all about comics. His favorite right now is probably Spider-Man. Right now he's really into Star Wars. Like, really into Star Wars. Like, we have lightsabers at home.
He is how old?
He's about to turn 5. It's coming up month. So, he's really into Star Wars right now. He's a big Darth Vader fan. So, I don't know. He went from, like, loving Marvel comics to now all he wants to do is watch Star Wars.
So he likes the dark, kind of the dark. Are you do you lean that way too? Do you find yourself drawn to the...
I like the whole thing, but for him, I don't know. I showed him a scene of where, like, Anakin turns, like, Darth Vader and he puts the helmet on and he makes that noise. It just blew his mind. Like, I just, like, looking at his face and him realizing that, like, you know, he used to be a good guy and now he's back. Like, it just blew his little mind. And now he just, all he does is want to be Darth Vader. He wants to walk around with sabers. We have, like, these actual, like, lightsabers that, like, light up, make the noise and everything every day when I come home. That's what we're doing for, like, at least an hour. It's just sword fighting throughout the house all the time.
Now, the good and evil thing, is it just with comics and everything, or is, like, something like Lord of the Rings? Is that, like, that's it? Not really.
See, no, I mean, he's still teaching. If I try to explain,
I'm talking about you personally.
For me,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen Lord of the Rings. I know a little bit about it. I don't know too much about it. And I was really more of, like, a Marvel type guy. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, I think that
it's really good versus evil, right?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. And I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just fun. It's just a good time.
So all of us have kids, and David's got grandkids. Yeah. Is there anything better than being a dad? I mean, how much, and to think that somehow we're responsible for this, for this other life. It's overwhelming.
No, it's amazing. And it's so funny because it's like sometimes I just forget that they really rely on you to learn everything. So, like, it's just like some things I just tell them to, like, open the car door or, like, trying to figure out, or, like, tell them to, like, put his seatbelt on or trying to tell him, like, unlock the door. And he's just like, I don't know what that means. I'm just like, this is how you unlock the door. This is how you put your seatbelt. So I'm just like, it's just little things. It's just like stuff like that is great just because now he's like, this turning into like a little mini me. Like, everything I do, he's doing. So I think that's the best thing.
Is your wife okay with that, or does she?
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Side?
And he's pretty much like me, and my daughter is pretty much like my wife.
Oh, there you go.
And like, but that's exactly what she wanted. She's always wanted, like, you know, a little mini me, and like my daughter's turning out to be just like her mom. So it's just like her little personality. She's just all over the place. She knows what she wants, strong willed. So I'm just like, this is pretty much turning out how we wanted to.
That's perfect.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, you know, you made a big decision. They had to make a big decision this summer about coming back to Orlando. Yeah. And how much of your family, like how much did that weigh in about being in Central Florida and the, you know, it's just, I've been here a long time. We all have, and we raise families. I mean, it's a great place to raise a family.
No, for sure. It's definitely for family oriented throughout the, you know, this, or at least where we live, with Disney, like right back in the background. So it's just everything about like Orlando is like family oriented. And I think, you know, with, you know, my son going to school, my daughter starting daycare, my wife developing friends around the city, I think it's just they kind of settled in. And they settled in well, too, because, it's, you know, we weren't really here for that long. But, you know, they made a lot of, you know, family or friend connections, and, you know, they have a lot of things going on. It would just be hard to kind of move them out of that and having to start over again. And, I mean, as long as we be in one place for, you know, a long time, I think it will just help with, you know, the upbringing of our family, with the way we, you know, we want to go. And I don't know, it's just a great place, man. I mean, people love coming out here, especially during the wintertime. We always have people coming in from cold climates and hanging out for a few days. So I think our family loves it, kids love it. So, I mean, it was almost an easy decision.
I've heard people say, Terrence, said a lot of times that maybe Orlando is not a great like free agent destination. Mm-hmm. I've never really understood that. Yeah. Is there a reason for that?
I don't know.
We've talked about the climate. It's a great place for sure. To
and I think that it's just, I think whatever the team does, I think that decides.
Based like, on
that's
winning
based
and
on winning and losing. But I mean, there's definitely like a winning culture in Orlando. You guys went to the finals. You guys had, you know, big time superstars, and I think, you know, people are familiar with it. And the fans are great. Like, you know, once, you know, you start winning a little bit, they get on board quick, and you know, the support that they show us is amazing. And I think that with a lot of that is, you know, the more we win, is just the more people are going to want to come here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you made the decision to stay and Nicola made the decision to stay, did you feel like that was maybe kind of a turning point at this at this juncture in the franchise with two key players? Because you and Vooch both had options.
Yeah.
You had other opportunities to go elsewhere.
No, for sure. And I mean, it all comes down to winning. And we had such a great year last year that, you know, it was something that you kind of want to build on. And when you're, like, in the middle of things and the thick of things, like, it's hard to kind of think about other destinations and trying to wrap your head around, like, you know, what's the situation here? Which, you know, direction are they going? And I mean, we were pretty much comfortable with where we were and where the franchise is headed, and you know how much we could be a part of things. So I think that was also a big decision for me. And I mean, of course, like every season's gonna be tough, but that's, you know, that's the part of it. That makes it fun when you do get to where you want to go. Is once you get to the winning part, like that's what makes it all much that much better. So, that was the biggest thing for me. And Orlando just had everything I wanted.
It's interesting. For those of us that grew up on the East Coast, we didn't get to really see your journey. Mm-hmm. You know, your journey to get to the NBA, to get to college, growing up on the West Coast, an LA kid, you end up in Portland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a culture shock. I've been to Portland. I know.
That's
got to be interesting. It's one of Dante's favorite cities. Yeah, though, from is. A it's a great place.
He only likes the donuts there. There's a one special donut.
They actually opened up one, I think, Universal.
They did.
Like the little boardwalk. Yeah, CityWalk. So they have one out there, too. So it was a so weird to see one of those, you know, around town. But
they've got a motto: keep Portland weird. And keep Portland weird.
No, it's weird. You see all types of weird, strange things happening around Portland. Like, you know, just things you can't explain. I don't know. It's just growing up in Portland. It was just, you get used to it. So like, it's probably just a whole bunch of stuff that in my childhood I probably look back and like, that was weird. But when you're there at the time, you're just like, yep, just another day in Portland.
But you had so much success there. Just touch on playing and kind of how you developed your game. And
now, you played with Terrence Jones at Jefferson, right? And had some great success. And then went to Montrose in Maryland my junior year.
I played with Terrence Jones, I think, since about like sixth grade. Mm. And since then, we just kind of always been on the same AAU team, but on the same team. We worked out all the time together, and we had the same like group and core of friends. So, you know, all we did was play basketball there. There's not much to do in Portland, as you know. It rains a lot, so anytime, you know, you could get outside to play basketball, that's what we did. And most of the times, you know, we just found gyms to go to, and that's pretty much all we did, you know, growing up, was just play basketball. And I think, you know, playing against Tim all the time and playing against other players, I think that kind of helped me develop games and kind of hone in on my skills. Jones was just such a big kid that he was just so strong. And, you know, it was – for me, it was like we would always play like these one-on-one games. He would always block my shot when I went into the paint. So I think with him, I think he kind of helped me develop my shot a lot more, because I was like, if I'm going to beat this guy in one-on-one or 21 or crunch or whatever – I have to shoot. And that's how all my team or all my friends play me. They're just like, you know, we're not going to let you dribble, so you got to know how to shoot.
Interesting. Is that where you get the lift and the height, all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, since
pull up mid-range.
Yeah, I always shot. Like, they would all – and, like, I was a tall kid, but, like, all my friends are probably the same height, if not taller. So, for me, it was just, like, I had to learn how to shoot sooner, and I think that's kind of where that came from. And then my sophomore year, when I ended up switching to Montrose, it was just a different game altogether. Like, now I'm going from West Coast to East Coast, and now I'm playing against like the best East Coast players, and it was like starting all over again. I'm playing against, you know, other guys I have no idea who they are, and I'm playing against other kids who, if I do know them, it's just, you know, from like the ranking high school websites that we used to check. So it was all different, but it was good, man. It gave me a different experience. It gave me a different type of challenge. You know, it helped me grow. I played with, you know, a couple other players like Justin Anderson. Kevin Durant went to the high school, so he would come back around. Graves Vasquez, we ended up actually playing together again in Toronto. Right. And so I was just around, like, different guys, and I'm always going to these colleges to work out, to, you know, play pickup games. So I think – a lot of that kind of helped me develop too, kind of helped me like round my game out and kind of helped me go up against, you know, better talent in the East Coast. So it was all just a combination of things, but it was just the journey itself was the thing that kind of, you know, put me to where I'm at right now.
Yeah, sure. I've read something about your affinity for Lorenzo Romar.
Yeah.
And what, just touch on going to Washington. And I know he had an impact. Did he kind of help you for the pro game too? Or what?
I've known Coach Romar since I was, I think, in eighth grade. He would always come, you know, to the high school I was going
early.
To.
I'll give him that.
No, for sure. He for sure did. I remember even, like, you know, going into my freshman year, we had a open gym with, like, I was a young kid. I was still in eighth grade, But there was like, you know, other kids, recruits that were, you know, much older than me, were all playing at like a local high school, or I think at my high school actually. And, you know, there were some college coaches there, and I remember he was there, and he would come around all the time. And I remember it was one time we ended up playing a pickup game, and I was doing really well. And then later that day, like, you know, they pulled me. It was like, I think two other college coaches. I think it was a coach from Oregon State, and I think maybe a coach from Oregon. And then basically, after that pickup game, they all kind of all offered me scholarships, and I was just like,
"Wow!"
I was shocked. I was just, but it was me and Terrence, and they were like, "Yeah, you guys want to come here? Like, we're
eighth
all for
grade,
it. Eighth grade, going in for freshman." So I was just like, "I know Omar forever." And so even, you know, do that freshman year and that sophomore year, he would always come down. He always make those 2-hour drives to come down to our school and kind of check up on us and see what was going on, go check in with the academic advisors and everything. So we developed that relationship early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the older I got and the more attention I got from other schools, it was all good, but it was just I didn't have that level of comfortability with anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, really my senior year, I'm watching Isaiah Thomas, Justin Holiday, Quincy Pondexter. Those guys are in the tournament. And they ended up going to like the Sweet 16, and it was around like it's March Madness time. So I'm just like, I'm meeting with all these other schools, talking, but I'm just kind of like iffy about a lot of stuff. But I think when I saw, you know, Washington in the tournament and the way they were playing and that style of play they had, it was like really good intensity on defense. They were playing really fast up the court, and I was just kind of like, man, like it's just something about that just kind of attracted me to that school. And since I already had the great relationship with Romar. It just seemed like an easy decision for me.
There's a lot of pressure on young kids to make decisions.
Sure.
Because I know at one point you thought you might go to Maryland.
Yeah, and, yeah,
but
yeah.
There are a lot of people pulling you in different directions.
My junior year, Maryland offered me, and it was so weird. The way things are going with Montrose, the reason why I left is because when I was there, the coach, he kind of made it hard on me because when I was there, we would have like these little cubbies like with inboxes or like, you know, different, you know, mails or letters from different schools, this and that. And I had, you know, maybe like a few letters from like, you know, Maryland, I think like Kansas and Texas. And it was just like, and I knew I was a good player. So I was just like, well, I only have three schools looking at me. And I just thought that was weird. And I remember spring break, I went back home for, you know, about a week. And, you know, just to go check up on my friends at school, I thought I'd surprise them. I went to the high school, said what's up to them. I remember I was walking out of my old high school, and then the principal was like, hey, I have something for you in my office. And I'm just like, okay, what is this? I go back into his office. He has, like, these two black, like, trash bags of, like, mails and, like, letters and all these recruiting letters. And I'm just, like, looking through them, and it's literally from every school in the country. Like, I'm taking like
– You must have been blown away.
I had two giant bags of mail over my shoulder like I was Santa Claus going back home. I emptied these things out. I had letters from every country – or every school in the country. And I was just like
wow.
– and then I told my mom, and she was kind of like, well, why weren't you getting these at Montrose? And I was just like, I don't know. Because I'm under the impression that, you know, my coach is just, like, letting anybody send mail. And everybody knew I was at Montrose. Sure. So I'm just like, and maybe well, apparently he was only allowing certain schools to contact me. And so when I got home and I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to go to Montrose anymore. I was like, I feel like they're going to try to, you know, screw me over or do something really shady. So I ended up going back. I was like, At this point, I had already committed to Maryland, too. So I was like, okay, look, I'm decommitting. I don't want to go to Maryland. Like, I have other options. And then he got kind of mad at me, and I remember not starting. I remember not playing after that. Like, he just kind of sat me. And I was just like, well, I'm, like, the best player on the team. Like, why are you sitting? Like, what's going on? So I was just like, things got really kind of janky and a little shady at that point. Mm-hmm. So my mom pulled me out, sent me back to Jefferson during my senior year, and I tried to apply to play, and right. It got denied. So I didn't really get to finish my senior year, and I was having a great senior year at that point too. And it was so weird because my sister was going from a different school coming to the same school I was going to. She literally got there a week before I did, and she applied to play, and they let her play. But I think it was because like the team that my high school had at the time was like Terrence Jones. He was already like ranked really high in the country, yeah. and my school had won like the last 2-3 state championships. So they were just like, I felt like they kind of just like, no more talent. Yeah. So I ended up coming back to Jefferson. I still practice with the team every day. And I worked out there after every school day. And
that was your home.
Worked out.
That was home.
Yeah. So Jefferson was home for me. So that's just kind of what I did. And next, you know, I was just like, you know, when it came down to recruiting, I had all options on the table. And I took my official visit to Washington. And I was just so blown away by the campus. I just committed. I just signed my letter of intent right on the spot. So I think after I saw that game in March, I was like, I'm sold.
It's interesting you mentioned some players that you watch, yeah. NBA players. We talk all the time. Like the last few games, I mean, it's like every time we're calling a game, oh, well, that's DeJounte Murray.
There's another
Washington Husky. There's two on our team now, you and Markel. Right. And so you talked about Coach Romar and everything, but here's a chance to plug Washington. Yeah. It must be a beautiful campus. I've been to Seattle, but I've never been on the campus.
Yeah, I have.
It's amazing. Yeah, so the campus is unlike anything ever. And looking back on it, like living in the Northwest for so long, it's like even Portland has, you know, great sceneries, a lot of green trees, everything. Everything's just great, fresh air. You go to Seattle, it's like that times 10. And plus it's surrounded all by like water, so it's great. So, I mean, the campus was amazing. It was beautiful. Like they had, I remember just going from class, walking to the gym every day. It's like a point in the campus where you're leaving what they call like Red Square, where the library was. You're walking down like this. It's almost like a hill, but it's still on campus. There's a giant waterfall. And then in the background is like, what? I forgot what mountain that is.
Mount Rainier.
Yeah, Mount Rainier. Just in the background with snow covered up. It's almost like a screensaver type picture that you look at. And just like every day you make that walk. And it's just like not until after I left and came back and I realized like, wow, this is like a great view. But like even in springtime, everybody's out. Trees are looking amazing. Everybody wants to interact. Everybody's doing something. So,
and when the weather's nice,
it's the best. It's nothing better when the weather is nice, because it rains. It looks like this most of the time. It's just super gray. It rains, but when it's like when it's summertime and it's going in like, you know, summer from spring, it's amazing. It's like the best place to be.
We got a little hill in Claremont. There's like
like a little hill. Right? Yeah,
that's where the kids go sledding in the winter. Right?
We don't have a ton of undulation in Central Florida. That is the one thing I do miss. But how much would it mean to that community since you spent time there to get an NBA team back? I mean, right?
Oh, it would be great. I felt like I just missed it. Yeah, I just missed it. Right. I mean, I would love to play in Seattle, whether it's Key Arena or wherever they put the arena now, but that city's amazing, man. It's nothing like it. Like, and it's like the weather's great. I mean, besides when it gets super damp and super rainy, but I mean that city just has like such a great feel to it. Like, it's nothing like it.
Well, we got some questions. We'll close it out with this. Is that all right? Fans love interacting with you, as you know.
Yeah, for sure.
They've been fantastic for you. First one comes from Fernando Varela. And I know you've mentioned some of these already, but your go-tos in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I know you love Disney and all that. Yeah. But what are some of your go-tos?
Some of my go-tos. Andretti's go-kart experience.
Sure.
That is like the greatest go-karting place I've ever
Where
been
is
to.
That?
It's right next to Topgolf. It's like right behind iDrive, I think.
Right behind Orlando. And
it's like right next to Topgolf. I think between those two, like I'm pretty much.
Now, is that you or your 4-year-old?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah, we're always in there. And they have like a giant arcade that I just let them run wild. We spend a few hours in there.
They got stuff up top on the ceiling.
Yeah,
we got to check that out.
Yeah, VR, impressive. Everything.
That's a good one. Well, those are good. This one comes from Bobby Smith. He said he's going to be wearing his Magic gear in Detroit. And he wants to know, do you notice Magic fans when you go to visiting arenas?
Oh, of course. Especially during the national anthem. Everybody's standing up. That's kind of like when I start looking in the crowd, just seeing how many jerseys you can find and how many other people are just coming down and supporting. So, for sure.
Are you looking for your own?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking for your own jersey? Yeah.
sometimes I'll count. I'm like, let me see how many people are just wearing the roster.
31 or 8?
Yeah, 31. Now it's 31 and 8. But I still see a ton of 31s.
Why are we not selling Terrence Ross Human Torch jerseys? Can we not get some flames on those things?
Hey, hopefully.
Could you imagine what those would do?
Yeah, somebody's got to get on
that. We'll take a little of that. This one comes from Chris Kearney, and he wants to know, an Aaron Gordon at 20 years old or Terrence Ross at 20 years old in the dunk contest, who wins?
Aaron Gordon at any age.
I think so.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron's a freak athlete. Like, he does a lot of crazy things. Like, even now, like, he catches lobs with his hand behind his head. He does all these crazy windmills, dunks backwards. Like, I had some good dunks, but AG's definitely – an elite dunker.
I love this one from Dante Reeder. Do you believe ghosts exist?
Ghost?
You didn't like the supernatural? Honestly,
yes.
Do you?
Yeah. I've had some experience where I was like,
You haven't seen him in hotels on the road, have you?
No. Thank God, no.
Okay, we just extended this podcast a little bit. All right. We can't let you believe in ghosts. So you've had some experiences where
I remember living in Portland. I was about maybe 15, 16 years old. I remember it was just me and my mom at the house, and I was in her room. It was probably about like 11, 12. And she sometimes like falls asleep on the couch watching TV. And then, you know, sometimes like when I'm in her room, I can hear like people walking up the stairs. And so, you know, usually when she's tired, like, you know, she walks up the stairs like super heavy footed, and like she'll bump into the rail and it kind of like vibrates a little bit. So it's one night, I'm just like laying in her bed watching TV, like the house is dark, and I hear, you know, her coming up the steps, and then I hear like a boom on the rail, like, and it was like moving. So I was just like, okay, she's probably bumped herself on the stairs, let me go help her. I get up, I turn like the hallway light on, and like she's not up the stairs. I'm just like, okay, hopefully she didn't fall down. So I like go to look at the bottom of the stairs, and there's nothing at the bottom of the stairs. And so now I'm like, okay, so I walk downstairs, like, and I still see her, like, dead asleep on the couch. And so, like, once that happened, and I saw, like, wow. And like, you can almost, like, still, and I could, like, still almost, like, feel, like, the rattling on, like, the rail. So I was just like, I went upstairs, turned the lights on, just went back into the room, just kept every light on, and I was just like, that was weird. And then, like, another time, she was telling me that, because we usually would have to wake up early from school, we would leave. And sometimes my mom, she'll wake up early and like turn the news on, whatever. And so I remember it was like the one time I was like last out the house. She told me to turn the TV off. So I did. I get in the car, and we're leaving the garage, or we're leaving the driveway. And there's a window that looks like from the house, you know, to the living room, and kind of see the TV. Like she's driving, and she's like, she stopped. She's like, I thought you turned the TV off. And I was like, I for sure turned the TV off. I hit the switch on the TV and it went off. And so I was just like, I went back into the house and I looked, and it was actually on still. And I was just like, no, there's no way. Cause it'd be one thing. It was like, if I'd hit the remote and I didn't hit it, but like I went to the switch and like pressed it. And like, this is the one where you like have to like push the button to turn it off. You can hear the click when you turn it off.
Yeah,
so
sure. So
I hit it. So I, after that, I was just like, man,
same
I don't
house,
know.
Both incidents in the
yes,
same house.
Same house.
Yeah.
After that, I was so happy.
Who are you going to call, Dante?
Something's going on there. You're right. Oh, that's
realtor.
Good stuff.
Very quickly.
Yeah, the realtor. Yeah, no, for sure. Not the Ghostbusters, the realtor.
We're going to get on out of here. Well, last thing. This one comes from Jeff. So you're the Human Torch. You have to give us superhero nicknames.
Oh my goodness.
You don't know much about us, okay. Right? You know, we're probably not the fastest of humans,
no,
right?
Yeah.
You know,
there's not one of us is you know, up there a little more in years than the other two.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's tough, right? It's tough. If you had to.
So the Fantastic Four, what's like the, is it Dr. Fantastic or Mr. Fantastic? I think it's Mr. Fantastic.
I think it's Mr. Yeah. Fantastic.
Dante's definitely Mr. Fantastic.
I'll take that. Because like, the gray on
yes,
the, yes.
Perfect, yes. Yeah.
Reed Richards.
Reed Richards.
Reed
Richards.
I like
See,
it.
He knows it. He's on it. He's on it.
Yeah. Yes. All right. I'll take that.
That sounds like the top of the food chain, David. I think we're in trouble here.
Yeah, we're.
Oh, trust me. I'm not going to name like, no, you guys aren't the rest of the Fantastic Four. No. Let me think about this. Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy made out of stone or something.
Because there's some bad ones that have come over the years, like arm falling off guy. Like there's really, that's the real
Oh,
one.
No, there's like the guy that dies over.
Now, Coach Clifford is known around, you know, the league.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
In the locker room.
Everybody calls him Thanos.
Why is
Thanos?
That, I wonder?
Because I'm sure you guys see this, but he gets really upset sometimes. And when he gets upset, he turns a little purple. Turns a little purple, like a nice shade of purple. Yeah, so yeah, I would definitely say that one.
Could JT could he resemble Groot a little bit?
For sure,
right?
I mean that. Yeah, you have to pick somebody that's tall. Groot is unbelievably tall.
Now I've watched enough to know this is the guy. He's just basically he's a tree, like right.
He's
like
a tree, but yeah, he's a okay. Fan favorite.
Now, who's the raccoon type character in that?
Rocket.
Yeah,
Rocket.
I could be Rocket.
There you go.
That's perfect. That's actually perfect.
That's really good.
That makes
really
yeah. I can see it
because he's kind of a little bit of a a smart guy.
He's a genius. Yeah, no, he came up with the human. Yeah, for sure.
Or Star Lord, he'd kind of be. You'd be make a good Star Lord.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I'll go. All right, man. Well, we appreciate it, Terrence. This is great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having us.
Awesome. This is a lot of fun. Best of luck the rest of the way. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.